Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. At Calvary, he showed me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Somebody today needs to hear that. Might not be a lot of love in the house, but you need to know, yes, Jesus loves you. He showed it at Calvary. I don't know what's missing in your life right now, but you need to know today, if you don't get anything else, Jesus loves you. And he showed you how. On an old rugged cross. Yes, Jesus loves me. The little children's song says it the best way. Yes, Jesus loved me, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, bless his name today. Good morning, church. It's good to see everybody on this Lord's Day morning. And it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen, amen. I want to thank the senior pastor for being here this morning. I know he's got a lot going on, and we're glad to see him. And thank him for those kind words. I have been all my life blessed by the people of God in the body of Christ, and I don't take it lightly. So we're here today. Let us pray. God, we come now at this moment to thank you for a chance to stand and speak for you. Thank you that you speak to your church. Thank that you speak to the body that you have put together, Lord. And we come now to understand all that you do and how you do it in your people. So, Lord, we pray right now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we pray now that all things said will give you glory and give you honor. Thank you for being my Redeemer. Thank you for being my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. America is at war with DEI. They want to eliminate it. This war on DEI has revealed insecurities, hate, fear, loss of jobs. Whatever is going on, you may not agree or disagree with what's going on, but one of the things that we need to understand about DEI is not just about black and white. It includes people that can't help themselves. It includes people, for instance, like the American Disabilities Act. It includes issues of that nature. And there's the folk that can't help themselves. So with all of the vitriol about DEI in America, it's created toxicity. It's created disunity in this nation. And so much so that it's at the highest place in this nation, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that has been used to cause disruption and disunity in this nation. Things are not looking good. It's a sad state of affairs. It's bad news. So wherever you land on DEI, understand that the way it's being handled is not for unity, it's for disunity. I'm so glad that when we look at God's program, God has his own DEI. And I'm so glad that when we study the Word of God, it helps us to see just what God needs us to see when it comes to not only what he works in us, but how he has set it up. So for a few moments this morning, I want to share with you this thought. How does God use DEI to speak to his church? The text that we have this morning comes from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 7, verse 11 through 16. And the very first thing I really need you to see here in the text is how God speaks to his church through DEI. The first thing I need you to see is we must recognize believers are given diverse spiritual gifts to use in the church. Verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. I want to define that word church. It's the ecclesia. Ecclesia is the called out. In the Bible, it has several images. It's the bride of Christ, the royal priesthood. It's referred to as the temple of God. Paul employs the image of the body as the body of Christ. And if a body is there, the body has to have a head, and therefore Christ is the head of the body. When we think of the church is a living organism. It's not a religious organization. A living organism should grow and develop. And there's over 100 metaphors or statements in the Bible that refers to the people of God as the church. And the people of God are committed to one another because the body needs unity. This stresses the idea of dependence on members and depending on one another. That's why Paul writes in this first part of Ephesians 4 about one spirit, one baptism, one faith, one God and Father of all. Unity comes from diversity and equipment and inclusion. God set it up. And the church is set by God. Peter declared that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus responded this way: and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. This church is what Jesus built. It's the church that he designed, and he is the head. And because he designed it, the Bible says that he gave spiritual gifts to all that had come to a saving faith. Spiritual gifts here are qualities given by the Holy Spirit to Christian believers. There are diversities of gifts, sovereignly given. God gives value to diversity. He did not create all the same. So the gifts that you had, all of us don't have the same gift. The gifts vary. The gifts are given according to how God and through Jesus Christ decided that they would be given. But the beauty of it is that everybody gets a gift. Everybody has been getting one. Now the beauty of this is that everybody doesn't get the same one, because if everybody got the same one, what would be the benefit? So God uses diversity to benefit the body. What do you mean by that? Well, everybody can't sing. Everybody is not comfortable standing and speaking the gifts of exhortation. Everybody is not comfortable helping somebody in a real way, the gift of helps. They would prefer to be working in the back and handling the administration piece, so they have the gifts of administration. All of that works together in unity in the body. Diversity. God designed that. Not 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. God did it. And because God did it, that's the model that the believer ought to use. God's design. The gifts are designed to edify, to build up, to strengthen the body, to prepare to work in ministry to serve God's people. The gifts are given to equip the body. This function of the body continues as is until all believers are spiritually mature, unity is attained, and we live with the image of Christ in our lives, fully grown, understanding all that God has designed us to be. God speaks to us and uses us in his body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, it says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. I had a professor to say to me, God does a work through us and a work in us. God will work through us to meet a need. God is ready to meet a need. Are you ready to help him meet that need? God will work in us to strengthen us. He'll work in us to peel off all of our issues, the strongholds that we wrestle with every day. God will work in us to take off selfishness, take off pride. He'll work in us to move us from laziness and slothfulness to working in ministry. God will work in us. And the spiritual gifts helps us. Now, if you wonder, well, what is my spiritual gift? I got news for you. We got Discovery 301. We're waiting on you. Go register. We're going to walk you through it. We're going to make sure you know how God has designed you to work in ministry. Why should you do that? Because God's waiting on you to work. He's waiting on you to put you to work. He's got something for you to do. He's got something that you ought to be doing. And right now you're trying to figure out what I need to be doing. And God is saying, I got something waiting on you right now. But you need to know what your gift is. Spend the time to get your gift. And in the body, God speaks and he tells you what's going on. You see things in people. You see things and you say, oh, that they got something special right there. God works in the body for all of us to help one another. I've seen this happen just lately. We have our rooted and we were at the Open Door Mission with men that were recovering from alcohol and drug abuse and so forth. And it's a wonderful project for men. They go in and they spend 16 weeks. God blesses them. But in that 16 weeks, they're doing something, always focusing on God. So we had a chance to have our rooted there, and that was a fella in my rooted group. And man, when we got started, he was on fire. He'd come to the session. I mean, he had something to say, and it was always positive, and he was always trying to figure out how he could help somebody. He was on fire. And so I was saying, man, God got something for him to do. So toward the end, he decided to take a gift in the test online. And he came back and said, Rumbell, guess what? I got something to tell you. I said, what you got to tell me, Doc? I said, man, I took it. And he came back and said, evangelism. I said, I knew that all along, brother. God got something for you. You have a passion for it. And all you did was confirm what God wants to do in you. That brother is now helping facilitate another rooted group at Open Door Mission. God works in the body, and you don't know how he's going to do it, but you know he's going to do it. That's what God uses diversity of gifts for, to grow the body and strengthen the body. The second thing I want you to see here in this text is that we must recognize that every believer is given a spiritual gift by God's grace. Grace here in the text is a special gift. It's freely given by God to each believer. It's a gift that each one is given to equip them to do the work. God is using grace to help you and I do what he wants us to do. Grace. We don't earn grace. It's not a merit. You can't assign merit to grace. You can't cross all your T's and dot all your I's. No, grace don't even care about all of that, because sometimes you don't even know what the T and the I is. Grace takes care of all our sin. Grace takes care of what we need to do God's will. Grace puts us in a position that we can't put in ourselves. Grace. And God gives this special gift. And when you think about grace, there's two views of it. There's a special grace and a common grace. And let me explain the difference here. When you talk about common grace, it is the undeserved favor God extends universally to all humans, believers and unbelievers alike, in the form of earthly and material blessings. Matthew 5:45 puts it this way. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Special grace. Oh, yeah, special grace is God's unmerited favor and kindness given as a free gift. Paul puts it good in Ephesians 2:8. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The power of grace in the body of Christ keeps us humble. The power of grace helps us to know where we are in the body. I was reading a book by Pastor Mike Iaconelli, and the title of the book is Messy Spirituality. He writes about how the believer is unfinished. And when he talks about unfinished, he's really talking about imperfection, incomplete. We're not all the way there. We got some imperfections. And a lot of times, though, imperfections leads to messy spirituality. And so when he talks about it and he says that word, and when I was reading that word jumped up, unfinished, got my attention. And what he means by that is that we won't finish until we get to glory. But on our way to glory, we still unfinished. And so because all of us are unfinished, all of us are imperfect, all of us are incomplete, all of us need to learn how to dot the I's and cross the T's. All of us fall short of his glory. All of us can't brag and say, I got it going on, because God really is helping you get whatever you think you got going on. But because of grace, our unfinishedness, God still uses. He uses our unfinishedness. He uses when we ain't imperfect. He still uses us in the body to bless somebody. Oh, you're not listening to me. What I'm talking about is that you don't think you can help somebody because you throwed off about a subject. God can use your throwed offness to help somebody. God can use it and say, I'm glad I ain't like you. God can use that. God can use your unfinishedness to help somebody. Oh, what you mean? If I ain't straight, how can I help somebody to get straight? Well, you can help them get straight by telling them, I ain't straight either. And together, let's walk on this journey. God can use your unfinishedness. And when he uses it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be surprised that God used a serpent like you. Yeah, God uses us. And he uses us in the body. And because the body has to be strengthened, it has to be made mature, and God uses the ones that he's maturing and strengthening so that we can help somebody get to where we're trying to get. Yeah, we all are unfinished. And when you are looking to see how God is speaking, you don't be looking for the person that's perfect. Because I would venture to say that's the one you need to run from. Because the minute you think you got it going on, God gonna let you see, no, you ain't all that. The real deal is that you need to be focusing on me and what I can do through you instead of you focusing on what you can do. Now I don't take short that God does bless. I'm standing here because he's blessed. I got that. But what God wants us to do in the body is to understand that in the body, if we're going to all get to the same spot in unity, we need to all accept where we are. Where we're at, we're unfinished. We got stuff to do. We got stuff to get together. We got stuff we got to work out. And when we go through all of what we've been going through here at the church, God revealing to us, especially when it came to strongholds. Some of you found out that you didn't know you had that stronghold. You thought you had made it by. You thought since you didn't do it every day and every other day that you was good. No, you still unfinished. You still got some work to do. You still got something to do. And God puts all of us in the body. When he sent his son, he didn't say, I need him to be perfect. He didn't say, I need him to be right. He said, as you are, in your unfinishedness, he died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. And so all we need to understand in the body, we not better than anybody else, but God wants us to speak through us so that he can do a work in us. And he can do a work in your unfinishedness. Stay with me there. All right, now when God talks about special grace, he talks about it from the sense of not being a merit that you can earn. Now, all of this stuff about merit and all of that, you can agree with it, disagree with it, but that's the world's view. God's view is it's nothing you can do that's going to get you merit enough. It's nothing. We're as filthy rags. And so when we think about God's grace, we have to think of it in the sense of God extends that grace to all of us, and he does not put any limits on his special grace. We receive it morning by morning. We receive it day by day. We receive it hour by hour, second by second. Even right now, we're experiencing God's grace. Even when we leave here today, we're experiencing God's grace. God's grace is powerful. His grace, we can't even put a handle on it because of the power of God's grace. Yes, sir. Even when we don't think we deserve it. Even when we messed up. Even when we lied and said we wasn't going to lie. Even when we said we don't have pride and we're full of pride. Even when we say that I'm better than, I ain't what that used to be. God's grace still is given to us. His grace. And God uses that in unfinished people. He used it in his disciples. Peter was unfinished. Yet Peter walked on water. He was unfinished when he cut off the ear of the soldier. He was unfinished when he denied Jesus. He didn't show up at the cross. But Jesus came to him by the lake after in his resurrected body. And then Jesus restored him to the faith. But he was still unfinished. And in Luke 22:32, Jesus tells Peter this: I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have repented, strengthen thy brothers. God was dealing with an unfinished disciple, but he gave him instructions and he gave him encouragement that you're going to get there, Peter. And when you get there, strengthen somebody else. Yeah, you may not have that issue. You might have killed this one, but you still got some more. But whatever one you kill, help somebody. But the one that you did, destroy. Strengthen them in the word. Strengthen them in the knowledge of God. As a disciple, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do, to reach people in the body. God speaks to his body. God tells us what we should do. Grace is given to us to give to others in the body. You know, every believer needs an experience to help somebody in the body. You know, you go through something and you see somebody else going through it, you're the one that can help them. You're the one that can help get them through that problem. God puts us in those positions. There was a story, the cartoonist Charlie Brown. I was telling a story about a cruise. And part of that story was the people that were on the cruise, they would go to the front of the deck and unfold their chair because they wanted to sit in the front of the ship so they could see where they were going. They were excited. And then there were some that would put their deck chair on the back of the ship so they could see where they came from. They were excited to see that they have made some progress. And so the cartoonist said to Charlie Brown, where are you going to put your chair? And with sadness, he said, I can't even unfold the chair. What you mean, preacher? Somebody's life is all messed up. They can't even unfold the chair. They can't even understand what they need to do. Somebody's still lost. Somebody's still confused. Somebody's still having a rough time. Somebody's still in trouble. They can't understand what it means to look forward or look back. They just understand what they're dealing with right now. And God will speak to you so that you can speak to them in there right now. That's what grace does for us. Grace helps us. And lastly, I want you to understand that we must recognize that the body of Christ includes all believers working together to grow in Christ and his love. Verses 14 through 16 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Paul writes this letter to a young church, a church that is struggling and trying to bring two cultures together, the Jewish culture and the Gentile culture. Stuff is going on. They're bringing themselves into this new way of living, this new way of life as Christians. And they're coming together and they're not leaving the old stuff back. They're bringing all of the cray-cray with them. And a part of that was there were people doing demonic things. There were people that were preaching demonic things. There was a story in Acts 19 that talks about seven priests was trying to deliver somebody. And then in delivering them from satanic, they were using words that would make people think that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they would say that the demon would hear that. And the story says that they used the name Jesus and Paul. And then the story goes on to say that the demon spoke back then. And the demon said, I know Jesus and I know Paul. Who are you? And the story says that when he says, who are you? The demon let loose and went crazy on the priests. And because there were witnesses to what God has done, the church gain believers because they saw the realness of God. And Paul was dealing with what that came to the church. There were still people believing in satanic things. There were still people believing in other stuff that was coming into the church. So that's why Paul says there's one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God, Father and all. He had to get them to understand all this other stuff you're listening to. No, God is a God of unity. God is a God that wants to help all of his believers, and we're all intertwined, and God's interest is in all of us. It includes all of us. And so Paul writes this letter to help them along the way, and he knows that they need maturity in the knowledge of God. He knows what they need, and so his encouragement is that as believers, you've got to put the time in. You've got to put the effort in. And because of that, guess what? We're going to give you some gifts that's going to help you to grow in the knowledge of God, that's going to equip you with the knowledge of God. That's what God does in his church. This was AD 60, 62. 2025, God is still doing the same thing. He's placing people in the body to help the body. God has put something in you for you to use to help the body. The discipleship journey is what God uses for us to grow the church. The discipleship journey for all of us helps us to grow. It helps us to mature. It helps us to have unity, because unity is the goal. And the diversity in the body, it kind of reminds you of, you know, that song, Red, Yellow, Black, and White. We're all precious in his sight. Yeah, all of that. We're all precious in his sight. All of us. Short, tall, can sing, can't sing, can read, can't read, can talk, can't talk. All of that God is using in the body. And God speaks to us so that we can help somebody. You know, the body is so interesting to me that I always wonder how you can stomp your toe and your whole body hurt. You pinch your finger in something and you start shaking everywhere. Because God interconnected and connected nerves all over. They tell me that in your feet there's like 300 nerves. Oh, that's why it hurt. But that's God's design for the body. And when we think about his design, how he has put it together, his goal is for unity in the body. His goal is that we all on one accord. One hope, one faith, one baptism. I read a story about some California redwood trees. These trees are known to grow to massive sizes. And the secret to their stability and their longevity is the roots of the trees are interconnected. In other words, you can't mess with one tree without messing with the whole. Fierce winds may blow, but their connectedness allows them to borrow from one another and stand strong. So it is in the body of Christ. Our interconnection helps us to stand strong. And in verse 16, it says it makes the whole body fit together perfectly. God designed the body for us to help one another. And when one hurts, we all hurt. When one has joy, we all have joy in the body of Christ. That's God's design for us. God designed it because he wants for all of us in the body to be pleased and to live a life that you can go tell somebody about a Savior that died for you. You can go tell somebody about a Calvary that he died on and that old rugged cross. You can go tell somebody about the goodness of God. And I'll close with this thought. Hezekiah Walker wrote a song, "I Need You, You Need Me." Had to come from his experience in the body of Christ. In the body, we've come to understand that we need one another. God speaks to us when we realize we need one another. I didn't have my biological father in my life. He died when I was, I think, the age of 10. I met him about 3 times. It was an issue for me that I had to wrestle with most of my life. Raised by a God-fearing woman who did the best she could. But not having a father threw me off. I learned to adjust. I learned to just keep it moving, if you will. And when I was in college, the professor gave us an assignment. And the assignment was to make a list of people God used to impact your life. Never had that kind of assignment before, never thought of it. So I sat down to make my list. When I finished the list, there were 12 men. Of God. That God had put in my life. I was tripping for a long time. But God put me in a class of believers that told me I needed to spend some time to deal with it. And that exercise revealed to me that what I thought I missed, God had been given to me. Twelve men, nine of which were Good Hope men. Three were other men that I just knew that were part of another church family. I wrote that list down and cited each name, what they did, what they were doing. And as I finished the list, what you would want from your father, God had given me. A man in the body of Christ. God has sent 12 men in the body of Christ to give me what I didn't have sense enough to know that he was giving me. He gave me a mama, but I wanted a daddy. I wanted a father figure at the house, but I wasn't looking at the right house, the household of faith. These men gave me guidance, gave me love, friendship, encouragement, financial help, financial guidance. They prayed for me, available to me, gave me opportunities to serve, gave me opportunities to lead. God did all of that in the body of Christ, so that I would be equipped to serve. I would be included. And he'd use diverse men to bless me in the body. So if you want to know what DEI looks at, look at me. I'm glad about it. God been too good to me for not to be glad about it. That assignment is what God ordained for me to go through, because I was struggling with my imperfections. I was struggling with all that I wanted for God to do that just was not happening. And he wasn't going to give me an out. You can't blame that you got a daddy, didn't have a daddy. You can't blame that, because I blessed you more than you realize. And so today, somebody, God has blessed you more than you realize. You're looking at the wrong thing. Look at what God is doing. And he's doing it in the body of Christ. If you're not a part of the body, you might be missing that piece. God wants you to be a part of the body. He wants you to accept his son. He's been waiting on you. You've been putting it off. You've been trying to decide on what you want to do. But God has already set it up for you. He's already designed it for you. He's already decided that somebody's going to come to you. So this word today is a word just for you. So those of you who can and will, please stand on your feet. God is intentional toward his creation. His intentionality is proven because he sent his only begotten son just for us. His intentionality is that when he died, he rose again and he had all power, but he rose again so that others might come to a saving faith. God is intentional. And today he's intentional on someone here today that needs to come to a saving faith. He's intentionally spoke to you today. He's intentional that you need to hear him and respond. So if you're here today, if you've not accepted Christ, today is a good day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation just for you. Don't know where you are in life. Don't know how is it going. But if you got issues that you're trying to work out, God is ready to work them out for you. Fellow was writing about how his family life is busy with children and his wife, and they found somebody to take care of the house. And it was always a stress for him that on the day that the housekeeper was coming to clean, he and the wife was trying to clean up for the housekeeper. I said that to say, you've been trying to clean up what you've messed up. You don't need to clean up. God is going to take you in your imperfections. He's going to take you just as you are. If you could have fixed it, you would have fixed it long time ago. But God is waiting for you. So we now extend to you an opportunity to come just as you are. Come now. Come receive the Lord Jesus Christ. As Minister Taylor sings, amen, amen. One has come. Come on. There's another. I need.